Hello and welcome to the Daughters of Charity Services podcast, where we take you to the front line of UK charities and explore how to live out the 400-year Vincentian charism to meet the needs of marginalised and underprivileged people in our society today. I'm your host, Rhianna. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for tuning in to our third episode. Today, we're focusing on the cost of living crisis in the UK. Now, the cost of living is rising at its fastest rate in 30 years, and in March, it was announced that the UK's inflation rate had jumped to 7%. This rate is expected to peak at around 9% later this year, which is set to leave millions of households worse off and pull hundreds of thousands of people into poverty, including children. Today, we are speaking with Andrew Varley from St Vincent's Family Project, a charity in London's Westminster that supports young families, to find out exactly how these costs are affecting so many people and how families are coping. Welcome to the podcast, Andy. How are you?
Yeah, good. A bit cold here. How are you?
Yes, I'm well, thank you. Yeah, it's very chilly out and it's May now, so that's very disappointing. It's great to have you with us. Obviously, the rise in the cost of living is such a massive societal issue at the moment, and many families who were coping financially before are now finding themselves in difficulty and even living in poverty. And you are supporting many families who are struggling, really struggling through this difficult time. So let's start off with you telling our listeners exactly what it is that St Vincent's Family Project does and how it works to support young families.
Yeah, so we've been in South Westminster, I'm going to say 40 odd years. Originally it was for Spanish families in the area, but since the 90s, the project has been for all families in South Westminster. We focus on children between 0 to 5, so we have a community and any family can come along, as long as they've got children between 0 to 5. And we have lots of things for them to do, books, play areas, we've got a ball pool, we do lots of activities and things. So it's whoever you are, you can come in and be part of a community. We try to make it as safe and as relaxing and as fun for everybody who comes. Within that, we provide programs that are focused around helping people with parenting, which we all need help with. Nobody has an instruction manual when they have their first child, so it's very difficult. But we have people who have additional pressures as well. South Westminster's very diverse. Despite the wealth and history, there is pockets of deprivation. So we have families who are isolated in poverty who come to us as well. And what we're trying to do is try and give them more attention and more support. And so our programs and some of the facilities we have are free for them. So they can do programs around parenting, around nutrition. They can get one-to-one support if they've got complex issues. So if a lot's going on for them, we can help them with those. And we provide free creche as well. So if they need time to do these things but don't have childcare, which is another problem, then they can use us for that. So still, we try to be diverse and welcoming for all families. The other bit to our project is that we use creative arts therapies. For a long time, we've been doing that mainly for children who are a little bit older, to primary school level, because it's slightly more sophisticated. And we use that because it's a good way for children to be able to express themselves. It's basically play, and the therapist works with the children's playing. So if you can't express yourself very well, or you can't express complex feelings very well, it's particularly good for that. Recently, we've been also using that for adults, either as parents or as groups, as well as younger children as well. So we use it for much more wider purpose than we used before with schools. So yeah, we're open 6 days a week. So we have a group for dads on a Saturday. We're free to everybody, do lots of activities. Yeah, and I've been here 3.5 years now. So
Yeah, you do so much at the project. I've been very fortunate enough to visit myself, and it's such a welcoming, warm environment, and you do great, great things. So the topic of today, the rising cost of living, is massive at the moment. So we've seen over a 7% jump in inflation rate, which just means everybody's cost of living has gone up. And I guess one of the issues is that allowances, things like universal credit, disability allowances, any families who are living already in poverty, the help that they're getting, the percentage of those allowances and benefits aren't increasing as quickly as the cost of living. So that obviously puts families in difficult situations financially. So I wonder if you could tell us about some of the things that you've noticed with the families that you support. What are their key concerns at the moment?
Yeah. Well, we always focus on people who are struggling anyway. So the families we normally work with were already struggling in terms of, most of them, around income, cost of living, affordable childcare and housing. So that was always an issue. So it's quite difficult for us technically to see differences in terms of, because one of the things we don't do is we don't take a lot of data from families because we try to retain that kind of community feeling. But we do know, because families are telling us about increases in cost of living, that it is having an effect. And I'd say it's pretty universal across the families that are coming in. So the first thing really is, I guess it's making families think about it. The focus is around what's in the shops and where to get food from. So on the one hand, practicality. So people are telling us about some store in Brixton, and I've forgotten the name, so really sorry, which is cheaper than Lidl. So it'll be one of those things that'll get around and more people will go to that store in Brixton. So people are trying to be resourceful, as they do anyway, you know. But at the same time, I think what's coming across is more of a feeling of how much more can we do. So it feels like it's the tipping point for some families. You know, you already with people were, you know, making the best of low-cost resources, using projects like ourselves, using other projects. And now this on top, I would certainly, some families have talked about just not knowing what's going to happen or a sense of hopelessness. It feels like they've done so much, particularly during COVID, and then this is on top. I guess it kind of comes in cycles, as it does for all of us. So I was going to say heating isn't an issue, but it's not that warm. But one of the things that some families have mentioned is not being able to afford treats for the children. And we do a whole program on nutrition. Well, it's just a cooking program. It's more about relationship with food and parenting. And that's an important thing, is not being able to give your child a treat. We definitely don't say don't ever give children treats. We try to encourage people to manage it and be aware of them doing it. But it's become a point where families have already said they're cutting back on nice things they can do for their children. And, you know, if you're not confident as a parent, and how many of us start out being confident as a parent, then, you know, that can really affect how you feel about yourself, having that ability to do a nice thing for your child. And it might not seem a lot, but it's important to them.
Yeah, it's the little things, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if it's a reward for something or it's their weekly treat, that's something that's getting taken away from them for no reason. They've not done anything wrong. They're working as hard as they possibly can, the parents. And as you said, a sense of hopelessness comes about because there's nothing that they feel that they can do. What do you say to families who are going through this? Is there anywhere that you point them to find out where they can get more assistance? Or is it a matter of bringing people together and that sense of community that they're not the only ones going through this?
I think it's both, really. We certainly can and do support people to get as much from their income as they possibly can, whether they're on benefits or they're working, to access resources for goods. We do this constantly, really. And we're not even a specialist advisor, but what we've noticed in the last couple of years is we're doing a lot more of that, but still working with specialists. One of the one of the life concerns is the impact on people's rents, if they're paying rents, particularly private rents. And in Westminster, I'm sure I'm right in saying this is the most expensive area in the country. So if you're going to struggle with housing, this is the wrong place to be. It's got the highest level of homelessness as well. So that could be something down the line, a real anxiety for some families. So, you know, we work with shelter and other agencies as well, just to try and do our best to make sure people don't fall into that trap or know what to do if they're getting close to it.
Are families concerned about how they might be affected as the colder months come about later on in the year, because the inflation rate is going to peak October time? And obviously that's around the time that heating does need to start being cranked up in the houses. It's shortly after the new school year, where children often require new resources for school, new school uniforms and things, costs are going up. Is that a real key issue?
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that people are putting off in their minds but are aware of. So people understand, you know, not only the direct costs of fuel, but the impact of fuel on everything else. But if you're struggling, then you tend to deal with one crisis at a time. So I say, apart from the unseasonably cold weather at the moment, think that, that kind of August, September, October time is going to be a difficult period. And what we've been doing in the last couple of years, we've worked with a local trust called St. Marylebone Educational Trust, who supported us to support families with school uniform costs. And that has been massively important. It's been a huge relief for families to be able to have support. Sometimes, you know, it's 150, more than one child, up to £300, which does have an effect on everything else. What we're looking to do is to be better prepared this year for dealing with that this autumn, because we know it will happen. Families know it will happen. But, you know, I guess you're dealing with whatever's in front of you at the moment.
Do you think there's anything more that the government can be doing to support families who are finding themselves in these really tricky situations financially?
Well, the answer is yes, they can. One of the things that families are talking about is, well, I need to work, or I need to work more hours. But then there's the problem with childcare, the cost of childcare. Plus, it's not what they necessarily want to do, because they want to spend time with young children at that age, preschool. So the childcare allowance didn't go up. Maybe there's scope for that. That could be a simple, not too political choice, perhaps. Maybe more flexibility around council tax bills. Those are probably two areas that would help. I mean, I think if people understand it's been, you know, we have COVID, there's the situation in Ukraine, but they've also seen things like the furlough, where there was a commitment to support people through a difficult time. So I think people feel that there is more that could be done.
Yeah, that's a great point about the childcare, because there's a lot of what we call in-work poverty, where families and parents are working to their maximum capacity. You know, they're doing 40 plus hours and they're still not able to keep up with the cost of fuel and food and getting their children through childcare. And, you know, if parents are able to go to work and still not able to afford the things that they need to live well, it's a real issue. And I think that is where, as you said, the government could provide some more support for those families. Because it's not just the people who are unable to work. It's also the ones who are in work who are struggling.
Absolutely. And, you know, people are hard working. They're really hard working, and they give up a lot already. These are not helpless people without resources. They are really struggling. You know, in central London, a lot of the businesses are service oriented, and they're struggling there because the costs are on them. So it's kind of hard to find good, well-paid work that keeps up with the housing costs, childcare costs, as well as utilities and food.
Yeah.
What we lost during COVID were contact with families and new families. So we're trying to focus on, A, make people aware of it, but also make people aware that it's a nice place to come to, but that we also have services for people who need support, you know, and people can come and just play and hang out if they want to.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, I've been lucky enough to come and visit the project, and the sense of community there, it is a family. It's for families, and you feel like a family in there. It's so welcoming, and it's always busy and buzzing with children playing. Parents can come and get support and just have a chat with the staff and talk through their worries, and I think that is so invaluable.
You've been listening to the Daughters of Charity Services podcast. To get all the latest news from our charities, check out the links and resources in the show notes, including how to sign up to our newsletter. I'm Rihanna. I hope to catch you at our next episode. Bye-bye for now.